We're holding above on the bays. We've got two dots at the top, six lines down. Amr Marza, Hebrew Shisarabim. We're current in Rashi, right? I think so. Yeah. Amr Mar. So Rosh Hashanah, it describes Rosh Hashanah. Again, it's saying this is, as opposed to something else, the Mutei Mar. What's it coming to exclude? The Mutei Idach to Rabbi Yehuda is coming to exclude the another statement that Rabbi Yehuda said. Tanan Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Moshe Derech Rosh Hashanah Mefas Katon, is Hakena Litzadim. There's a problem when you have a well or which is well it's ten more than 10 tefachim deep and it's more than 4 by 4. So the well is a rishus yachid, right? So if you have it in the middle of the smack in the middle of the rishus rabim, so there's no way you can get the water out of the rishus out of the well. And, into the Rosh Hashanah. The Chum saw a need for the early regal as they travel on their way up to Yerushalayim. There was a large amount of people traveling. They had public wells, and these public wells were found in the Rosh Hashanah. They couldn't start looking around the city for different wells. They had public wells, which were found in the area and they put these wells in the roads to be available for people to drink as they were traveling for the regal. But they got it when they came to Shabbos. They had a problem. How do you get the water out? So the Chumim made a raisa. They created there's a type of a mechitza you could put up around the well which would allow you to draw water. Mirabonon normally wouldn't necessarily relied on it because of the need of the other regal. They relied on it. What was this mechitza that they put up? So midrash, if you take a board which is an amma long, and you put it in the northeast corner on the north side, and another one in the northeast corner on the east side, and you keep doing that around the four areas. You put an L-shaped mechitzas, each one being an amma, that creates a status of rishus yachid around the well. That was known as pase biros. A pas is this large piece of wood. It's called a pas. So the pase biros is now matter midraisa and midrabanan is matter for the people to draw the water out of the well because they're really standing in rishus yachid. Now, what do you do with the maisa? It's in the middle of the road. So you have the flow of traffic is coming through this. It's a virtual home. It's a virtual Yerushas Yachid, but it has the highway running through the middle of the house. Right? That's really what's happening. So is that a problem? So if Yehuda says it is, and for this to work, you have to divert the flow of traffic around the Pasi Berdos. They cannot if the flow of traffic goes through the Pasi Berdos. It's mavatal the status of the Vasi Vidos, and it's considered a Rishon Sarabin.
It seems like the way that this was described is that basically people are not going to be traveling. You have basically this container around the well, and people are not going to, they don't really have a choice to walk through this. It seems like they would.
Well, there's a 10 amma gap between the two corners. You have 15 amma gap between the two corners.
You some people can still use it as a.
And the road still goes through.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, you just like put up a lechi. He was okay with having.
No, so that's the more over there in Erevin, that's to steer Rabbi Yehuda.
Okay.
Right? The more Rabbi Yehuda had, you had your main road and you had two mechitzas, is good enough. And then you say, well, there's mechitzas, but there's a road through, which is no good. I mean, that's like steer. And, so the Moros says Rabbi Yehuda said has a halacha that it's considered over there. It had a full fledged mechitza, a full wall on each side, so that gives it a status of shusha yachid, even though the flow of traffic goes through it. But over here, since it's only pasi biros, it only has the little thing in the corners, but the rest is wide open. So Rabbi Yehuda holds up over there the flow of traffic through it would be mevatel the status of shusha yachid. And that's Rabbi Yehuda's sheet on that.
The elderly regular traveling on Shabbat, or the fact that they went other days of the week nullified?
No, not only the regular, this was the road which goes through this thing. So they were there the whole time. They put up the Pasi Biros, but the constant flow of traffic throughout, constantly throughout the week, is through this thing. That's not a Brishus Yachid. It's a road. You know, it's like, picture your guy has a house, but he's got the highway straight through the middle of his house. So Chacham said that's not considered, it's not a problem. There's no need to move it to the side. Pasi Biros is a full fledged Rishus Yachid. And here the Chachamim are more interested in the Chachamim also. Because the Chacham before said if you have the road going through the middle, that's considered Rishus Rabim. And here they're saying it's considered Rishus Yachid. Yeah, but over here there's four walls. You know, there's four halachic walls. Over there was only two. So Chama say that this case is there's no need to move it to the side. It's considered Rishus Yachid. Okay. So therefore, over here when it says Ezel Rishus Rabim, it says Rishus Rabim, it gives an example of a Sarchi and a Platya. Sarchi Plata are not these type, aren't going through a middle of a Pasi Biros. So Rishus Rabim is someone which doesn't go through a Pasi Biros. Not like Rabbi Yehuda. But my car like Gemurah. So what does it mean it's a Rishus Rabim Gemurah? So before you could say it's like, you know, got everything it needs to be Rishus Rabim, over here it's the language of Gemurah, it's completed, is a bit funny, like, you know, as opposed to over there with, because there's walls, it's not completed. The more I find that difficult the language, more so Tani Resha Gemurah, Tani Nami Sefer Gemurah. Okay. Furthermore, Kasha, end of that thought. Veleshav Nami Midbar, why don't you mention the Midbar being, the Midbar as being a Rishus Rabim? The Hotanya Ezohi Rishus Rabim. It says, the different Brises is Sartya, Platya, Gedailo, Mubuz, Muhammad Falashim. Hamidbar, the other Brisa has the text of the Midbar also. It's, you know, it says the same thing as our Brisa. It says the Sartya, the highway, the Platya, which is the plaza, Sarplatya Gedailo, the plaza. Mubuz, Falashim was the roads which are open at both ends through the city, which connect into the Sartya or the Platya. And the Midbar, so mentions the Midbar. Amar Bailo Kasha, Kamazman Shisel Shriim B'Midbar, Kamazman Azet. When Klai Yisrael was traveling through the Midbar, so the presence of all of Klai Yisrael in the Midbar created a status that this now became a place which was a flow of traffic, even though there's no road there, it's not a Sartya, but that got that status. But Bezman Azeh, the Midbar is not considered Rishus Rabim.
So off the road, it's not Rishus Rabim.
Off the road is not Rishus Rabim, it's Carmelis.
So that was where you're saying that today the Midbar is not considered Rishus Rabim?
Correct.
Okay. It would be like the Bukka now. It'd be like the Bukka was...
Carmelis,
yeah.
Right. Be Carmelis.
What does it mean? What part of the Midbar? I mean, even when you had Kalis on the Midbar, so are you saying anywhere outside their tents would be?
Well, the Kalis was set up with the Mishkan in the middle, and all of the Golem around the Mishkan. So the area of the Mishkan was, for all purposes, was their Platya. Right, so that was the Rishus Rabim. Number one. Then you had the flow from the tents to the Rishus, to there. So whatever path they would leave, if they were 16 amas wide, would be Rishus Rabim. Now, when Klai Yisrael decided to break camp and travel, so they would set up and go. So the Gemara later on assumes that flow that they were going, that area, the path they would take had a status. It was 16 amas wide. And had the status of a Midbar. It had the status of a Rishus Rabim.
Although they weren't traveling on it on Shabbos.
No, right.
So that path would have been gone. No.
I'm not sure exactly what happened when they traveled and they came to Shabbos because they didn't really camp. They hadn't come to Mokum. They didn't come to Michigan yet. They were still in travel mode. Let's say you learn the Tumadon, which they traveled one behind the other. Not so that whole section now is considered Rishus Rabim. That's where Moshe comes along and says, you see from the Midbar that the defining element wasn't necessarily, it was the area, God has said, as long as there were paths in there which were wide enough for people to walk in, you know, 16 amas, which is made for the flow of people to walk, that's considered Rishas HaRav. You don't need, that's where the issue comes up, the 600,000. Tosafot points out over here that this is the source, potentially is the source of the idea that the definition of Rishas HaRav is it's a place where 600,000 people travel. Because the source is from the Midbar, Klaus was going through, that came as Rishas HaRav. So the Rishas points out, it doesn't mean that you had 600,000 people traveling on any given road. It means, you know, they were all there together. So if you have 600,000 people in a space equivalent to the size of the camp in the Midbar, so then all of the roads within became Rishas HaRav. You didn't have 600,000 people traveling on any given road at one time. While they were traveling through the Midbar, you know, when they broke camp, you had 600,000 people taking that road. But while they were encamped, you didn't have that. And that was still considered Rishas HaRav.
Wasn't it 600,000 men?
We use 600,000 because that's the number which the Torah defines the people which are there in the Midbar. It doesn't define any other number. So we use 600,000. Never refers to anything else, but any other number besides that, yeah. Yes. What do you mean? What was in the Midbar? Or what's halacha status of 600,000? 600,000 for halacha of Rishas HaRavim is men, women, and children.
Right. But in the Midbar,
was
that also?
No, it was men between 20 and 60.
So
there is much more, but the number of the Torah, that Rosh Rabbeinu says, he says we need the food for 600,000 people. He doesn't say we need food for 3 million. He says 600,000. So the Torah refers to Klai Yisrael as 600,000, even though there was more. But the Torah refers to it as 600,000. The 600,000 people in this nation. I mean, there's 3 million people in this nation. He didn't say that. He says there's 600,000 people. So the Torah refers to it as 600,000, so we refer to it as 600,000. Even though it was much more.
In the Midbar, there wasn't a Derech. What's that mean?
Was that human past?
Huh?
Just walking in like the sand or anything, yeah, whatever. I mean,
there was no, but that became the path. Whatever the path, Klai Yisrael, that became the path. Okay. Zogt Rashi. Mafsakton. The Pasi Biros, if the Rishas HaRav is going through the Pasi Biros, if I base the Irvin, what is that? The Hikilu Chachamim Mishum early regalim. Chomer Mekel for the Oli Regal, you couldn't say, well, go find a different well around the town. You know, they don't live there, and there's a large number of people coming through. The Kilo Chomer Mishum Early Regalim of the Bor Rishas HaRav. So they made burris available in the roads for people to get the drink for themselves and their animals. So they were Mekel. The Bor Atzim was Rishas HaYachid. Shem Uka Yud V'Chabadalad. The Bor itself was Rishas HaYachid. But Malam Itoicha Umeniach Al Svas. A person would take water out of the boar and put it down on the edge of the boar, is chayiv, is going to be chayiv from taking from Rishas HaYachid to Rishas HaRav. The Kilacham and Lasser is Dalet Pasim. They would make four Pasim, a Pas being four corners with an Amma board in each direction. When they Yud Amas, and the gap between them was 10 Amas wide. Davi Chalol Rishas HaYachid. That's not considered a Rishas HaYachid Miraisa, and Mirabanim, they were also allowed them to rely on it, the Malas in the board, to take water out of the board. Come Rabbi Yehuda, comes on Rabbi Yehuda and says, "Imhoi Sederach Rishas HaRav Mafsakton." But if the flow of traffic went through this ten Amas gap, in other words, the flow of traffic still continued to go through there after you put up the Pasiv Yeroz, so that's Mavatal, the status of Rishas HaYachid. See, Yakadim Benem, you have to divert the traffic. Dosar Rabim, Mavali Mechitzas. The flow of the Rabim coming through would be Mavata, the status of a Mechitz. It's like there's no wall there. Dosar Ramina, the Huda of Yehuda. The more assets that steer, it's in the Yehuda. Deliel that we just mentioned before, Domen Noise Noisin Bamsa, the Osirab Mavala Mechitzas. In the case before was there was Rav Yehuda's case was a wall on this side, a wall on that side, and the Rambam goes through the middle. He calls it Rishus Yochid. What do you mean? But the flow of traffic going through the wall in the middle. And why doesn't he say that the flow of traffic was Mavata Mechitzas? He doesn't say that. Rabbanon, we asked to hear on the Rabbanon's. Mashimina lay the more over their answers that, like I told you, that over there is, it was a full mechitza on two sides. That told the Rishus Rambam can't mevatel that, but over here it wasn't a full mechitza. So Rishus Rambam flowing through the Rambam flowing through would be mevatel the mechitza. Chum saying the tzaruch. V'hanu tzaruch zohi Rishus Rambam. I will heal the rabbim of the ben apasim lehavrish as the rabbim hoyal betlikas sham dal mechitzes. The chum say there's four mechitzes there. It's not rishus the rabbim. Aye, there's a flow of traffic. Tough luck. Doesn't make a difference. So, yeah. My gemura, hachalekah lememrim. You can't say ma'atema kiddul yael. I would have thought to say that the chum don't argue in this case. The ikras yasin mishum l'tal to b'sechon. You couldn't say, well, it's a rishus rabim. The case before was the chum might agree with Rabbi Yehuda. They agree that to throw in is a rishus yach, but you can't be metalta. You can't say that over here because over here you're allowed to be metalta. That's the whole purpose of the tilta. Of the pasiv rose was to allow you to draw water out of the well. They said there's no need to divert the traffic. It's I feel the talent even for the purpose of moving things. Obviously, throwing in would be chayim. So we're saying that's Rishus Rabbim. Now, I'm not sure what Rashi's asking. It seems to be saying that we're not asking on the language of Gemara. We're asking what's the need to point out that it's Gemara. As before, we said the Gemara, what's you want to point out? Because you might make a mistake and think that it only had a semi status. Over here, it clearly doesn't have a semi status, it has a full status of Rishus Yochid. So we said that's a Rishus Rabbim, and this is not a Rishus Rabbim. This is a Rishus Yochid. I want you to tell you, but that's what Rashi seems to be asking. I understand that. But we use the language of Gemara on the Rishus Rabbim part, not on the Rishus, on what it's coming to exclude. So if that was the Habamina is something that would have been on the Rishus Rabbim part, not on the Rishus Yochid part. So I don't know what the Habamina and the Rishus Rabbim would have been. I don't know. Mishman Shayisu B'Midbar B'Chashiv Rishus Rabbim B'Zman Hazeh Eino Mokim Hiluch L'Rabbim the Hochim Midbar is L'Shchichi. So Rashi says because the Hochim Midbar is L'Shchichi. So the Rishon already have difficulty with the language of Rashi. This is not because they're not shchichis, but you could have, it could be normal for people to travel through the midbar. But Rashi Shita himself, in Erevin, is you need 600,000 people to consider Mitzvah as a rabbi. I mean, it can be fairly shchiach, as long as it's not 600,000, you're okay. Rashi seems to say that theoretically, it would have been normal for people to go through the midbar. So this is a place made for the Hiluch of Rabbim. So the Midbar is a place where people walk. People travel. That'd be the function of the Midbar, is where people travel through it. So then it's just the Rabbim. Even Bezman Hazeh. Which does not seem to fit with the Rashi over there in Erevin, which says that the definition of the Rabbim is 600,000 people going through the area. And that you don't have in the Midbar. Okay. So it's more weiter. So Amar Mar, im hoitzi behichnis b'shagig. So the Brisa continues and says, I can't resist. Amar Mar. So it says Amar Mar. The master has said that's a reference. Always that's reference back 99% of the times of the Gemara. That's reference back to a Tana. And it wants to refer back to a statement that in the Gemara said earlier. It says the word gufa. This is this is the main point we said. Let's talk about it some more. I want to elaborate. When I said Amar Mar, we said X, let's elaborate on it. Amar Mar always means referring back to the master, meaning a Tana. But the Yerushalmi says, why is he using the word Amar Mar? Because it's being meram is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of the world. It says the master of the world has said. Amar Mar is referring back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said through the vehicle of the Tana X, let's talk about it. So, you're Moshe Shmuz for the morning. Okay. Amar Mar, Yim Ha'itzi, Hichlins, V'Shegeg Chayv Chattas, V'Mezid, Anashkars, V'Niskel. So, I mean, we know that it's one of the malachas. It says, one's Rosh Hashanah, one's Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Just say Chayim. Why does he have to start getting involved in pointing out Chattas? We know what Hilchos Shabbos is. You know, it's like, it didn't need... For you, this is the first time you're seeing the Braises talk about the Chayuvim. But you learn Masechta Shabbos, you know, it's again and again and again. We know what Hilchos Shabbos is, Chattas, and Korvus and Skila. Why does the Braises feel necessary to point it out over here? Okay. Mishra Chayim Chattas, Pshita, we know that. That's what it means. So my answer is, B'mezid, Onosh, Korvus, V'niskel, Itzricholei. No, the Kiddush is in the chorus and the skillet. Morse, what do you mean? Honami Pshita. This is also, we know what Chiyav Shabbos is. Pasuk says, Chumash. Right? They found this guy gathering wood on Shabbos, and they gave him a skillet, you know. Pretty clear. Morans and Tokamash Malon Kiddur Rav. The Bryce is stressing the point because of a statement that Rav said. Dama Rav. Rav said the following. Mitzosim Megillah Storm Bei Rebbe Chiya. Megillah Storm was, you know, the old learning of Torah was done Baal Peh. A person would be in Mesmesh and he would hear a Chiddush or something which was new to him and he wanted to make sure that he remembered it. He would write it down. He was allowed to study from the written oral law privately. You can't learn from it, and it's part of the process of learning in the public transmission, the transmission of Torah one to the other. But a person could have his own personal, and that was called a Megillah Storim. It was a Megillah because it was written, and it was Storim, it was hidden, it was kept private. So he says, Rav says, I found a Megillah in Rukhiya's house, I found a Megillah Storim. Because of Ba, and it's, in it was written the following statement. Isi ben Yehuda, I remember the Tana Isi ben Yehuda says, Olvus Malachas is Mem Chosar Achas. The Olvus Malachas are 39, 40 minus 1, 39. Penachai Bela Achas. But there's only one Chiv Korban. That's what it means right now. The Morse is going to challenge that in a second. In other words, person eats Beshargei. Tamar Beshargei. Person forgets it, doesn't realize that this item over here is Chayim. The forbidden fats that you can't eat in the Behemoth. Eats a Kazai. Then he's the second Kazayas, he's the third Kazayas. Then he realizes, oy vey, somebody says, that's Chaylus. Right, he had three Kazayas, and he brings one Chattas. Because there was no awareness in between the Kazayas that he's doing something wrong. Person forgot it's Shabbos, and he cooks. Right, he does an act of Bishul, and the shear Bishul, let's say, whatever the shear is, depending on what it is, it's Kegrogris, let's say. So he cooks, then somebody says, it's Shabbos, what are you doing? He's Chayim Chattas. Okay, he cooks two kegrogris at that same forgetting. So he's only chayv one chattas. Three, he's only chayv one chattas. He cooks and he lights the fire. It's sort of a malachas, and he grinds the flour and the wheat makes flour and he makes it into a dough and he bakes it and he lights the fire. So he did four malachas. But it's all one avera in the Torah, lo sasa kol malacha. And he did that malacha again and again. He did that avera, lo sasa kol malacha, v'yam ha-shabbos. He did it four times. So he only chayv one chattas. It's different malachas, but so what is different malachas? But he did the same avera. The avera in the Torah is lo sasa kol malacha. The Torah didn't say, don't cook on Shabbos and don't make a fire on Shabbos. The Torah said, don't make a fire on Shabbos. That's an issue. But we'll get to that in a second. Right? It said, don't do work on Shabbos. So he did work. So he did it three times. So what? Shalom Mechai one Chav. So that's what Isa ben Yehuda is saying. See, even though it's different malachas, it's only one Chiyav Chattas. Eini, is that true? V'hatanan, we learned in the Mishnah later on, Obas malachas, mem chasarachas, v'avinim bo minyon alomali. We asked, why does the Mishnah point out that there's 39? I can count. Why does it tell me there's 39? And then I can figure it out. And Abba Rabbi Yechon explained, Shimason Kulam Behelam Achas Chayv Kol Achas V'Achas. One forgetting is Chayv. Each Malach is Chayv separately. So what do you tell me? Only Chayv one Chat. Now the source of that, actually, the more discussed is how we know that. One of the Tanoim says the source is the fact that it wrote the Isra of do not make a fire separately indicates that that alone is already chai by itself. Then we learn from there. So all of the other malachas, each one of the malachas is chai of a separate chatas. So what did Izi ben Yehuda mean to say? Ela'ema in a chai of alachas mehen. Izi ben Yehuda had a masara that of the lamates malachas, one of them is not chai of a chatas. It's not a full-fledged malacha. So what this b'raisa is coming along over here is coming to say, but ha'kamashal, this our b'raisa is coming to tell you, ha'mehanatul me'sapkon. This is not one of the ones which we have a doubt about. We're not sure. There's one of them out there which is the Eastern Yehuda says, I'm not sure whether it's chai v'chatus or not. This b'raisa is saying, okay, but this one there's no question. This one's definitely chai v'chatus. The malach of itso. Asir Rashi. Chai v'chatus, the last narrow line over there, chai v'chatus. Yeah. Why or what? See, what did you say? Why or what? What? The hitzah. Our brayser talks about hitzah. I'm an olive, saying definitely chai v'chatus. Chai v'chatus pshita. Kiven the tani chad rishus ha'yachid, v'chad rishus ha'rabim. It says this is rishus ha'yachid, rishus ha'rabim. This is tama v'im hoytzi v'hitzah z'chayiv. Okay. If he does the malach, he's chayiv. I know yadana, the shigos chad. I know what that means. The Shabbos, the korus. We know the Torah says you chayiv korus. It means b'shagi you chayiv chatus. The more says the chiyuv skila. Hanav shita the basra skila the mekayshes. The Torah says about the mekayshes. He got skila. Gila storim. Shehi stiru was something which is kept hidden. Ibnei shalom nitna likase. The Torah was not written. When they would hear a pshat from an individual, which is something which is new to them, Shannon Nishim of Besa Medrash hadn't been learned before in Besa Medrash. They could write it for themselves, they shouldn't forget it, and they would take it home and review it. So Mastir is the Megillah. The Megillah had to be kept private, it couldn't be used publicly. That's what a Megillah storm is. Rashi quotes, it's interesting, the language. Rashi, one place in Chumash, Rashi quotes a Megillah storm. In Tazen Yom Yomai Mezveka, Rashi says, if Torah says, if you ignore me for a day, I'll ignore you. That's like, Rashi, Mitzatz Megillah storm. That's the language, that's what Rashi is referring to, is Megillah storm. And Chayb Elahach, it's only Chayb 1. Hashem Asher, Imason Mehelem Echad, he did all of the Melachas, and one forgetting, Shalai Noida Loi Ben Kalachas Va'achas Shechata, he did not become aware between each one that he did something wrong. It was all one forgetting, and he did many Melachas at the same time. And Chayb Elahach, only Chayb 1, the Chachil Shabbos, Guv Echad Shal Averu, it's all the same Averu. It's like doing the same Averu over and over again. So, but we ask, is that so? Miyana Lamali says, why do you have the time of this 39? List the Abbas Malachas as a Rebbe Chayrish, Lamali Vashmina, Minyana, Hamani Lubazal, list them, and you count it out yourself. Chayva Kalachas Vachas, Balahuyanu Skuma Chato, Shorim Chayiv, Visuri Shabbos, Behelam Echa. It tells me, how many Chatas could you be Chayiv at one shot? So you can be Chayiv 39. That's why he's stressing that they're independent to that extent. Vashmina Memchas, Racha saying, it's 39. Vesuloi, not more than that. Now, why is that important to point out? Because the flip side is telling me we know there's all of us and there's told us. So you might think if you're chayiv, each one independently, so you're chayiv on the av, one chatas, and the told of one chatas. So that it's telling me the shafila also told us, say, and imohem, enu mevi ala tolda, hechad yiso ima via. So, but each told is not that if a person does bishul twice, he's only chayiv one chatas. Person does the tola of bishul together with bishul, he's also only chayiv one chatas, because the tola is like doing the, it's not a separate malacha, it's a derivation of the av. For that purpose, the tola and the av are the same thing. So saying the most person can be chayiv is 39 chatos when one forgetting, right? Even though he did the 70 malachas, he did 39 avos and some tolas or whatever, he's still only chayiv 39. And chayv al alachas behen. So the version of Itzim and Yehuda is achas yesh behen she'ein roi chayv al misa. One of them was not chayv misa. Will appearish ezohi. We're not sure which one. He didn't say which one it is. Hashin and Tana the Masnisin, the Masnisa, the Tana of this Braisa, the Ketani Niskel, the Hoytzah Bachnasa Mihan the Mesapkin he Lazu Loy Nemer Isibin Yehuda. Loyomer Isibin Yehuda. So Rashi seems to say that Isibin Yehuda's statement was only regards to Skila, not regards to Chorus, which I don't know how that works exactly. But said this was not it. Because even though Isa ben Yehuda said there's one of the Ovis Malachas which we have a question about whether you got a seal or not, Hoytzah was not one of the question, one of the questionable ones. Skila.
At all.
You mean at all?
You mean that the punishment for it?
It's clearly Skila. Well, Isa ben Yehuda said there's no Chi of Skila. There's a Chi of Chorus, there's a Chi of Chatas, but there's no Chi of Skila on one of them. He says, of the 39, there's one of them, which is that there's a phantom of, there's one malacha, but it's not really a malacha, the Gabi Skil. That's what he said. So, so now, when you look at the 39, you say, Oyvei, I don't know which one it is. Well, Hoytzah, we do know, it's Chayav Skil. Now, you only have 38 that you're musipik about. No, Rashi was talking about Skil. Omer Mar, Abba Yom Biko of Histavonis, where Carmelis Enon looked Rishas so Yachir, looked Rishas Arabim. So it says that the Yam, the Biko, which is your literally the valley, I mean, it means the fields outside of the town. Histavonis we had before was the benches, and the Carmelis is not, they're not, neither Rishas Arabim nor Rishas Yachir. But Biko Enon looked Rishas Yachir, looked Rishas Arabim. Is that correct? That the Bika is not a Rishas Yochid, nor a Rishas Rabbim. But Tanan, we learned the Mishnah in Masechtas Taharis. Now, the Mishnah's issue over there is that we know we had in Masechtas Saita, Savak Tuma. Savak Tuma, Rishas Yochid, is Tame. A person's in a situation of Savak Tuma, he's not sure if he became Tame or not, and it's in Rishas Yochid. Savak is Tame, Rishas Rabbim, and Savak is Tor. So the Mishnah over there is talking about the fact that the definition of Rishas Yochid, Rishas Rabbim, for Tuma is not the same as Shabbos. Rishas Rabbim means an area where people would go. It doesn't have to have the full-blown status of Rishas Rabbim or Shabbos. But there's people there more than, it's not a private, very, very private place. Whereas Rishas Yochid would mean, we learn Rishas Yochid from Saita. So Rishas Yochid of Saita was a very, very private place. They were in seclusion to two people. So an area which you only find two people there is called Rishas Yochid. You find three people there is called Rishas Rabbim, the Gabi Safek Tumah. Because the Saita didn't have three people there. She only had herself and the man. So it says, what's the status of a Bika? So Bika is where people would plant. So when the crops were growing, people would not walk through there. So that would be considered a private place. A person has Safek Tumah in the Bika. So in the winter when the crops were growing, people were not walking through the fields. So you're not walking through the fields, that didn't Rishas Yochid for Tumah. In the summer, which you already had harvested the field, now the field is empty. People would walk through the fields. That's considered Rishas Rabim for Tumah. This is considered Rishas Yochid for Shabbos. That's the Mishnah said. So what are you telling me? It's not considered Rishas Yochid. Clear Mishnah that Gabi Hilchos Shabbos is considered Rishas Yochid. In the fields. Since Bika was, you know, Bika was the area where people would plant. So Omer Ula, the Pshat in the Mishnah over there is Carmelis, it's a Carmelis. But my Carmelis Rishas Yochid, Fish and Rishas Rabbim. The point of that Mishnah over there is says it's not Rishas Rabbim, but Gabi Hilchos Shabbos. Gabi Tuma is Rishas Rabbim in the summer. The Gabi Shabbos, it's not a Rishas Rab. It's not a Rishas Yochid either, really. It's a Carmelis. Rav Ashi Omer could go into Islay Mechitzis. There's a case where a Bika would be a Rishas Yochid, Mita Raisa, it has Mechitzis. But he called Omer Ula, like Ula, Omer Bierchen, Ula said the name of Bierchen. That's, the Mor is going to ask, well, same Ula, right? So what's Ula said? Ula said like this. Someone called it a Karfif. A karfif is an area which is enclosed, but the function of it is not for people to live in. It's not made for the purpose of diur. also a carve of Yosef Mebeis Vasayim. So if the area is small, it's considered Rishos HaYachid. What's the shear? The shear is Beis HaSayim. Beis HaSayim was the area of the chutz of the Mishkan. Was Beis HaSayim. It's 50 by 100 amos. So it's 5,000. It's 5,000. Right? It's 5,000 square amos. If you figure your amos 2 feet, so okay. So if it's larger than Beis HaSayim, shluhuka for there, and it was not enclosed for the purpose of living in. Which means that that's defined over there in Erevin. There is no house there first. You had a house, and then you enclose the area around the house. That's called your makir. You want to extend your living quarters. That wasn't the situation. Either it was enclosed. It's a corral. You know, it's like basically your picture. You had a corral. You closed it off. So loch is a filo kura, a filo karayim. Even if the area is the size of a base kura, a base karayim, which is a base kura is the area of the equivalent of 30 saw. So it's 15 times larger. Karayim is 30 times larger. Double kur. So hazarik l'secha chayiv. It's a rishos yachid. So a person will throw a rishos rabim inside of this thing. It's a rishos yachid. It's still rishos yachid. It's a gigantic area, but it has walls. It's a rishos yachid. However, you may not carry in it. Mechitza hi, el shem b'chuser es diurin. It's a mechitza. But it doesn't have anybody living in it. So the chacham did not allow you to carry inside of it. So it's a rishos yachid deraisa, which you may not carry more than dalat amos in it. But it's a rishos yachid deraisa that the b'yachid. And if somebody would throw in there from rishos rami, he's chayiv. So the language of the Mishnah in Sefer Taras makes sense. You might have put a wall or some type of enclosure around your field to keep your field safe. It's not made for the purpose of living in. So the Mishnah says it's called Rishos HaYachid. The Gabi Tumah is Rishos HaRabim, and people walk through it. But the Gabi Hichlus Shabbos is Rishos HaYachid. Or says Bishlam Ravashi Leomer Kida Ula. I understand why Ravashi didn't say like Ula's Pshat, because this the Mishnah says it's Rishos HaYachid, right? So he found a way that it's Rishos HaYachid. But Ela Ula, my time of Leomer Kishmaite. Why didn't Ula use the pshat that Ula himself said somewhere else to explain this mission of Masechtas Taharis? Why did he say the language of the Masechtas Taharis? It's a carmelus. It meant it's a carmelus. So Omer Lachop. So Ula answers back to you. The Islay Mechitzes. Bika Korile Karfifi. The language of the Tanner for such an area is called a karf. It's not called, you don't refer, Bika meant that it was wide open. When it's enclosed, it was called a karf. So Ravashi, it's a good question. So Ravashi says, what's Ravashi going to answer to that? He says, Rishos HaYachid, Tony, but that's very nice. But the Mishnah calls it Rishos HaYachid, doesn't call it a karmelus. So if it's referring to Rishos HaYachid, I'm forced to accept the doichik that referring to a Bika over here with walls around it. Okay, we'll hold Rashi's for tomorrow.